Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Random Chatter. This is episode number 167. We're recording this on February 18th, 2018. I am joined by Tim. Tim, how are you tonight?
I'm doing wonderful, Lou. Yourself?
I am doing well. And Lizzie, wait, Lizzie's not here, is she?
Slacker. Liz? Liz? No, there's no Liz.
Okay, well, according to Random Chatter policy, anything that goes wrong tonight will be Lizzie's fault.
Sorry, Liz.
We haven't got to do that in a while, so now we're going to blame her for everything.
That's right.
Anything that goes wrong. You know, we didn't win a medal at the Olympics. Lizzie's fault. Right?
do we have someone, like anyone who could jump in, you think?
I think we do. And she's here lurking in the background.
Already?
She is. I brought her in just to sneak up behind
Sneaking.
You. Ooh, there she is.
With those Black Panther sneakers.
that was a good part of the movie. They're sneakers, yeah. Oh boy.
So a lot of good laughs.
The voice you hear now is Shannon. Shannon, how are you?
I am good. Doing all right. Feeling good.
Awesome. You've been on a couple shows in the network already. I think you've been on a couple episodes of Getting Sidetracked with Eric, I guess, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was two episodes that we recorded because we talked about video games for 4 hours. So it was technically one episode.
Well, we're not doing a 4-episode of Random Chatter. I can guarantee you that.
No, we're
going to contain you, Shannon.
John Oliver is back
tonight. We're going to try to contain her.
I did listen to that part one, though, and it was quite good. It was quite good. And like, there's a lot of, I'm not a, like, real contemporary gamer. I don't have any systems because they would, like, suck up all my time. So that's the reason why.
It's true.
But I'm familiar with them. My stepson plays or has played a lot of the games. I've played some of them with him, so I'm pretty familiar with a lot of it. But it was a really good discussion. So I'm looking forward to part two that's going to be coming out soon. So yeah, folks, if you haven't caught the episode of Getting Sidetracked that just came out 4 or 5 days ago, please be sure to get into that and listen to it. It's a great discussion with Eric and Andrea and Shannon.
Nice. Well, now let's see. Tim, we get some show notes here for updates. So we have Random Movie Quotes, the game show coming out. I don't know anything about this. I am in the dark.
Random Movie Quotes, the game show.
I love the sound of it already.
I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Hoping to pull this together maybe next week, if not the week after. I got to see when everyone's available, but this is going to be hostful. So we're going to pull together as many of our network hosts as we possibly can, and we're going to have a little bit of a game show. I will be your host with the most, and it's essentially going to be based on movie quotes. So I'll throw a movie quote out there, and people have to name the film that it comes from.
If it's "What are those?", I already know who it is.
there's some good ones. I actually we went away for the weekend, and I was thinking about this so much while I was going through the weekend and talking to my wife about it. Came home, and before and after dinner tonight, already started pulling together my list of them. So
sweet.
I think it's gonna be a lot of fun. I'm pretty excited about it, and it's I think it'll be fun, and I think it'll be fun for the listeners too, because it's one of those things. I mean, if you guys are like I am, when you listen to a podcast, you kind of like start talking along with the hosts.
Oh yeah.
Like, no, you idiot, I completely disagree with that because of whatever, or they miss a fact and you're like, no, that's wrong.
Exactly.
And yeah. I think that this is going to be one of those great things that like our listeners are going to be screaming. No, Lou, it's
that movie. Wait, what do you mean, no, Lou? Wait. Why is it me? Come on.
Because everybody knows I'm the child of a movie buff, and I'm going to get a ton right.
I used to do a thing on Facebook years ago where every day I had a new status update, which was a new movie quote, and so you could get them.
Wow, nice.
It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun coming up with them, trying to find them. Making sure you're right. But yeah, it's good. And usually you're going, oh, what's on tip my tongue? I know the movie. I know the actor. I can't. Exactly. What's the name of it? Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, that's going to get you.
There's going to be a bonus feature in there, which I'm not going to put out there now, but it's an interesting bonus that can get you some extra points.
If you can say the line with the same inflection as the character.
No, people will actually get to make fun of me with some of them because I will probably read them as the character reads them.
Yo Leia.
Because some of them I simply can't help it. It'll be a lot.
Yeah, you really can't help it when you want to say a quote. Like there's just like almost like a reflex where you have to say it the way you heard it.
Awesome. I'll be back. You can't not say it the way that Arnold says it. It's right. It's impossible. You can't just, I'll be back. No, it doesn't happen. So there's that, which is just kind of, it's right now just a one-shot deal. We may do something else in the future. I think it's kind of fun to do some real hostful participative thing, just like we do the movie draft. The other thing I'm working on is with Tom. So for our listeners who listen to Echo Base, we had Tom on about a month ago as a guest, and we talked about a lot of Last Jedi stuff with him. Tom and I have been working on planning a podcast mini-series. So it is kind of a set, defined thing. It's not going to go on perpetually, which it kind of goes along with I won't say what it is yet. It goes along with a popular TV series that only lasted one season intentionally. It's not anything that was shut down prematurely. They had defined it. It's going to be this number of episodes, and that's it. It's done. And so Tom and I are working on a podcast miniseries for that. And we've been talking so much about it over like the last week and a half. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm looking forward to listening to that
because it'll make me go back and rewatch that series again too, which is gonna be fun.
Good.
What is that?
Good.
No, I can't tell you. It's a secret.
Because one of my favorite shows is a single season.
I mean, I know what it is. It's more of a mini series than a season, though. Really, I mean, I would consider that a mini series show. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I have a favorite show, like a Halloween show, that is like a. Meant to be one season. That's very good.
Interesting. Okay. It's definitely not Halloween.
No, it's definitely not.
So I could talk about the show all day.
Yeah. And I got one more thing coming up too. We actually just started the Random Chatter Book Club. So we have, we announced it on Discord over the weekend that we're officially starting it. We have about 5 weeks until the movie premieres. So I kind of wanted to do the book Ready Player One as our first book for book club. And there's about 40 chapters. Actually, it starts with chapters 0 through 39. So there's 40 chapters. We're doing 10 a week. We're going to start discussing chapters 1 through 10 this coming week. So when this goes live, it'll already be active in Discord. So if you're one of our Patreon donors and have access to Discord and read the book or are reading it as we go through this, jump in and we'll have some hopefully some good discussion on this. And then afterward, I think Liz and I are planning on doing a episode of the podcast to kind of incorporate all the stuff we talked about in Discord and our thoughts and maybe a guest on too. So
yeah. And so you guys are planning on doing that prior to the release of the film,
right? Yeah. Yep. Hopefully. I want to get our episode out before the release of the film and maybe one after the release of the film too, to kind of compare and contrast.
Yeah. And there is a channel set up in Discord for the book club. So for anyone who is a Patreon donor, $1 or more, you have access to it. Mm-hmm. In the entertainment grouping. So it has already started up in terms of people trying to figure out, you know, what they're going to do and how they're going to do it.
Yeah. And this is going to be an evolving process too. We may do the next book differently, but this is kind of getting our feet wet with it and kind of see how it's going to work out. So I think,
and it's such a great book.
Great book to do it with. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I'm actually starting the book up again to go through it as we do the book club. So I am excited.
Yeah.
Tim, what have you been up to television-wise or watching-wise the last week since we last chatted? Well,
continuing on with the Olympics, which, man, the Norwegians are just killing it.
They are, yeah.
They are doing awesome. I mean, there's just some incredible athletes there, and there are competitions where they're taking, you know, gold, silver, bronze. They're doing awesome. So they're definitely stepping up the bar for a lot of countries. So a lot of that, a few nights ago, we did kind of take an Olympic break. We got a little Olympic'd out because we were watching it every single night. So we took the night to do the first few episodes of Altered Carbon, which is on Netflix. And we've heard a lot of good things about it. There are a lot of folks on Discord who have mentioned it. And wow, what a series. We are really looking forward to continuing on with it. Probably once the Olympics are done, it is just absolutely incredible. It's like this neo-noir sci-fi. It's really, really cerebral. Boy, it's just fantastic. So really, folks, if you have not watched Altered Carbon, jump onto Netflix and start watching it now. It is, it's really incredible. It's actually one of those things that I may have to go back and start over watching again, just because it is so cerebral. It's not one of those things that, you know, I can't sit in my chair in the living room and futz around on my phone.
You've got to be watching it. Yeah, I'm two episodes in as well. And yeah, I've got to get back and watch the first episode again, because there was so much in that first episode kind of setting the world up and setting the whole thing of, you know, the way they transfer consciousness and stuff, that I've got to get back into again, because I'm like, I'm a little lost after episode two. But it's a deep story.
It really is deep. And that science to it, with how they transfer consciousness and such, is, I mean, that's the foundation of the show and everything that they're trying to do. So that's really important. And then obviously Black Panther. I went to see that Thursday night with my family. And I know we're going to talk a lot about Black Panther, so I'm going to reserve all my comments until we, we hit that point in time where Lou says, all right, guys, go.
I didn't really have that in the show notes this week, though. It was a movie release.
Did something come out? Did lines at the movie theater? What? What came out?
Only the fifth largest opening in the history.
Exactly. We'll get to that in a minute. We'll get to that in a minute. Shannon, I know now you're new to this, Shannon, but what have you been watching recently?
Admittedly, I've been doing a lot of gaming, because it is an Overwatch competitive season. So I caught up on some stuff yesterday, but I'll start with the Olympics too, since that's something we can all, you know, relate to.
Sure.
I watched that incredible Nathan Chen comeback.
Yeah, that was pretty amazing.
I turned on just in time for that routine. And the fact that it took almost the entire program for someone to dethrone him was insane.
Yeah.
I felt really bad for him, because, you know, he knows he can do it. He's won everything up until this, and he had a horrible skate in the team competition, right?
Yes,
and then he had a horrible short program where he fell, what, twice, I think it was? And it's just like, I just felt so bad for the kid. I'm like, you know he can do it. You see him in practice. He just nails these jumps, and it's like, oh, man, what a bad time to have a stumble, you know?
Yeah, I think he really succumbed to the pressure of the Olympics.
So.
Yeah. I mean, he's obviously insanely talented, way more than I could do.
I can barely skate, so it's just, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, he could be asleep and still beat me. But yeah, I mean, he had some real disappointing skates, and then he showed up.
Yep.
He really showed up.
In all the interviews with him, he seems pretty with it. He's not a typical 18-year-old kid that's kind of, you know, he seems very put together, and he speaks very well, and that was, you know, great on him. And I think it spoke highly of him as far as how he's holding himself up during this, got to be a trying process.
I mean, that quote from him where he said, you know, I fell so many times and I only had five planned, and I thought, why not just go for it? What do I have to lose?
Right.
Yep. And so he added one. Like, you know, what an attitude to have.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yep. You know, because we have so many, like, we already had, like, coming into the Olympics, we had a bunch of comeback stories. We had our ice skating pairs couple, the married couple.
The married couple, yep.
Yep, we had them. We had Shaun White, Lindsey Vonn, who I cannot wait to see in her better events. And it was a shame that she went first in that event. But that ending was, wild.
Right.
But, you know, watching Shaun White do his gold medal run was, I was up on my feet yelling at the TV. It's like, come on and just do it. Do it.
Yeah.
And he makes it look so effortless. Like he's just taking a walk across the yard. Like his landings aren't even, I mean, you know, usually a landing is like there's some impact, but no, he just like glides into it. It's like, holy crap, dude. Yeah. He's amazing.
Yep.
Yeah,
and all those guys up at the top of that event, I mean, you could see it. They were just throwing these runs down and putting things, you know, to the snow that were, you know, not even close to being a miss.
Right.
And it was like, wow, how do you top that? And the next guy, he topped it. So how do you top
that? He came out and topped it. Yeah. Yep. Especially after, I mean, everybody fell. This Olympics has been full of people falling. So like I'm, you know, as the games have gone by, I've really stopped, you know, discrediting people who fall because so many, like the ice skating, when I watched the men's short program for team skate, every single guy fell for the first like three or four routines.
Yeah.
And then all the snowboarders and skiers are falling because of the high winds.
Yeah. The weather's been rough.
Yeah. So like it's unfortunately a rough Olympics, but we're still getting some incredible stories and performances despite that. And
exactly.
You know, that's the Olympics, you know? I caught up on Top Chef because that's what I do. I watch a lot of reality shows when all my narrative shows are off the air.
Okay, good.
We watch some Top Chef here.
Yeah, and this is, I swear to God, this isn't to put like something on Lou. I cannot stop watching Eagles highlights. I can't. I cannot turn away a video of the Philly special. I can't.
Well, I'll say this, I totally get that, and I think it's awesome you do that because I did the same thing after last year's Super Bowl. I kept there was a 20-minute recap of the entire game, and I'd watch it, and I had that same feeling. If like the most of the first part of the video, I'm like, oh my god, we're losing so freaking badly. Oh my god! But it was such a great feeling watching that and seeing the end. You're like, okay, I feel good now at the end. But no, yeah, enjoy it. It's a great thing to have. I definitely enjoy
it. It's very special for us because we haven't had one.
Right.
And it's our first one, and it was just such a good game.
I said it on the show the week after. It was a great game to watch. It wasn't the outcome I wanted, but it was a great game to watch. And I'm happy Philly won. If it was you know the Giants, Tim, I'm sorry, I wouldn't have been happy with them winning. But you know, I was okay with the results.
That would have been rough if it was the Giants. I can imagine. But there's something. I just love watching the, you know, that clip of Nick Foles walking up to Doug Peterson saying, "You want Philly, Philly?" And just Doug Peterson looking at him like, "You beautiful mess." Yeah, let's do it. Like, it's just the whole, from start to finish, that whole, like, the mic'd up video of the whole thing, it was just hearing Merrill Reese call it. And, he, you know, everyone's saying, "No, he's not going to go for it. He shouldn't go for this. This isn't going to work. He should take the three." And like this, now this play is going to go down in history. I mean, Nick Foles already did. He's the first quarterback in Super Bowl history to both throw and receive a pass. Yeah. But the fact that they, only a Philly team would pull off a trick play like that on fourth down and have it work. Cause you know, we're just, it's that kind of team. It's that kind of place. These guys are amazing. And I just can't stop watching them. And this is a feeling. You know, the city has just been really happy and I've never seen it like this. And it's kind of incredible.
Nice.
So that's it for me, really.
Cool.
So I finally finished Star Trek Discovery and I quickly canceled my CBS All Access. So I felt 2 cents of accomplishments there. I got done with the show and then canceled the access. So I was like, this is awesome. I felt really good about that. Nice. I'm kind of bummed I can't watch it because I want to watch it again. I want to see it again, but... Wait until it's on iTunes or Netflix or something because I'm not paying for any more CBS All Access.
Were you happy with the series?
I was. I thought it was a very well done series. Had some highs and lows. I mean, if they thought they went a different direction, it would have been better. But I'm okay with what they've done so far. And as far as Star Trek series goes, that was pretty well done. So
good.
Looking forward to season 2, I guess, and hopefully I can wait until it's on Netflix or something instead of having to pay All Access again, but yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, I kind of like looking at this. If they release it on iTunes or Netflix or something fairly quickly after the season's over, then next time I'll just wait because I'm not going to, you know, pay $6 a month or whatever it was for for 4 or 5 months.
But yeah.
Not for just one show, but anyway. Like you guys watched the Olympics, of course, and I did see Black Panther as well, too. So we'll get into both those things pretty quickly. Let's just go into the box office update since we're running a little long already. I'm trying to keep you guys under control. let's see. Black Panther.
I thought we were doing well so far.
Not really. Well, we're not doing too bad for us normally, but we're trying to get better. So that's the problem.
Yeah, that's fair.
Let's see. Black Panther took the weekend, of course, by far. I mean, the fifth biggest opening ever, but $192 million in week one. And that's just the update right now. I think they're looking for probably 218 by the end of the 3-day weekend. So that'll be pretty impressive. Peter Rabbit in its second week took the second spot at 17.2 million, bringing its total to 48. 50 Shades Freed still hanging in there in the second week within the 16 million for a total of 76. That was a huge drop for them, but to be expected. Jumanji in week nine is still in the top five.
I still haven't seen it. I should go add to that.
I haven't seen it either, but I definitely want to. But
you guys got it.
So another almost $8 million in week nine for a total of 377. That is very impressive.
It's gotta still be out everywhere then. I'll find it.
It's out in a lot of places, yeah. And
such a good movie.
Rounding out the top five was the 15, 17, The Paris. Make total of 25 million for its total. It was another 7.6 this week. Next week, we're getting Game Night and Annihilation, two movies I definitely want to see. And then coming up, the next month looks like some really good stuff coming up. We've got Red Sparrow coming out. We've got A Wrinkle in Time coming out. We have Tomb Raider, Pacific Rim. Saw trailer number four for that coming out. And not that it's going to be a great movie, but it's going to be a good popcorn movie. I mean, I'll definitely go see that in the theater on big screen. And then Ready Player One is probably the next movie I'm really, really looking forward to.
I was wondering what that stood for in the notes. I was trying to figure it out, and I really should have figured it out quicker.
Yeah, RP1 is what RP1. I abbreviated, but Ready Player One. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that so much. I just can't wait. Anyway, let's see. We have now, Shannon, are you in our fantasy movie league in the online thing as well, too?
Actually, no.
Okay, you got to get in there.
Okay.
If you go to, let's see, I think it's...
I've been, like, peeking in on that, and I didn't know. Every time I saw it, for some reason, my brain kept going, F my life, even though I knew that's not what it stood for.
That's what I think.
Every time I see it.
That's not politically correct. What are we doing? No, but yeah, it's Fantasy Movie League.
There's a website for that?
Yeah, if you go to ramchatter.com/FML invite, you can get into our league within there. And I'll give you a little tip, a pro tip that I didn't know first week. You can pick same movie on more than one screen.
Okay.
As I was like, trying to get 8 different movies, I'm like, this doesn't really work very well. And I kind of screwed it up and didn't do very well the first week. And I'm like, wait, you can put the same movie on like 8 screens? Oh, okay. It makes more sense.
Yeah. I mean, I tried doing the Bachelor bracket once. For the Bachelorette, because my friend does it. She asked me to do it. And yeah, I screwed it up at least 5 times because I'd never done it before and I didn't want to ask for help because I thought I could understand a fantasy draft. I was wrong, America, and I apologize for
every kind of draft has their own little nuances and rules and it's a lot of fun. I'm actually winning this week, so I'm excited.
Oh, there you go.
Well, I'm tied. Somebody else picked the same exact movies I did, so I was like, oh, really? I can't bask in the glory all by myself now? But
listen, sometimes you lose the right.
I know. And it's too bad. But Tim's not going to win this week, so that's a good thing. He's been gloating that he's been having all these wins. And, I'm just happy I'm beating him this week.
For the listening audience, what you don't know is that Tim is actually not here right now. He is away from keyboard.
It's good.
So Lou is saying this because he can't get caught.
Right. I can talk trash about him. He won't know until later.
Not right now.
It's awesome that way. He does really well in the Fantasy Movie League, but not this week. Let's see here. What else do we have coming up? That's really it. So we will move along, and Tim won't be here for the Super. We're going to jump right into Black Panther discussion now, and he's not even here. So as we said in our box office update, it's been just destroying everybody at the box office.
It's killing everything.
I mean, this is the fifth biggest opening ever, weekend opening, which to me is amazing. It's 192 heading towards 218. It's 387 globally, which is pretty impressive too.
I mean, I saw the highest estimate I saw was, and I forget where I saw it, or I'd like cite it, because I love citing sources. It's very important to me.
Okay.
Was about 240. That was the highest I saw.
For opening weekend domestically?
Yeah, for opening weekend.
I mean, I was thinking it was going to do around 150, 140, 150. Which I thought would have been pretty respectable. I mean, that puts in good terms of top movies overall. But I'm looking at the opening weekends of all time on Box Office Mojo right now, And I mean, ahead of it are, you know, some pretty heavy hitters. We have Star Wars Force Awakens, we have The Last Jedi, Jurassic World, and The Avengers are all movies that are over 200 million opening weekend. Mm-hmm. This is 192. So it's right there. And I don't know if they're going to consider the holiday weekend in that when they go for overall, because it's one extra day, but they probably will. I think they're going to include that. So it'll be interesting to see. But 218 will put it up into third place if it hits that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Lizzie has already seen it three times.
Has she really?
She said third time's a charm today. Oh, my God.
I didn't even see that on Twitter. Yeah,
it's on her social media. I think she might actually be there now.
Yeah.
Is that why she's not here?
No.
I'm docking her pay.
She's having some problems with...
That's a respectable reason to stop, right?
No, that movie's no.
She's having some problems with her computer, unfortunately, which is why she's not here. But yeah, I did see on Twitter that she said she was going to go see it a third time. So yeah, she's definitely padding her own numbers. Just saying.
She can only get up to 400.
It does top out at 400. So yeah, she's done. She's done.
It might do that in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I walked out wanting to go right back in. I was already talking about taking my grandmother to see it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's easy for me. I live at an AMC or it's literally, I can walk there.
So you live in a movie theater?
I live at God. It's right around the corner. Cause I live next to a mall. And our movie tickets, because it hasn't been updated like every other AMC theater, are actually $4.50 before 4 o'clock.
Oh, so, nice.
Yeah, it's only because they can't justify the prices. So they thought they'd bring in as much people as they could. Because for years, this theater has been waiting for when they were going to be moved into a new facility, because that's been the plan for as long as I've lived here.
Okay.
They finally tore down the mall. They're finally building the new movie theater. So right now, they're just filling seats until they move. And cool. So the line this morning, and I knew it was going to be, so I bought my ticket ahead of time, was around the movie theater.
Wow, and that's cool.
And you had to do it to pick up your tickets because they don't have the ticket machines because, again, any reason to invest in them. Mm-hmm. And just everyone was so excited and kind and funny. And it was a great audience to be a part of. And
it was.
Mm-hmm. I went by myself and I still had plenty of people to talk to. Mm-hmm. Honestly,
the theater I go to doesn't have, it's all assigned seats. So you pick your seats ahead of time and that's kind of stuff.
Have that.
So I never see lines anymore. So it's like, I got there and I got there early because I left from work and it was a 7 o'clock showing. And I got there a little bit early because I like to go early and sit down and get comfortable and, you know, see the previews and stuff or even the ads. So I'm relaxed. And I got there, I'm like, there's nobody in the theater. I'm like, I know it was pretty full when I bought my tickets because most seats were all, you know, sold, but I'm like, so the mentality now is people show up like 5 minutes before the movie starts. I'm like, that's just not right. Like, I mean,
people showed up after the movie started and I was just like,
oh my God,
waited years for this and you still were 5 minutes late.
They should lock the door when the movie starts. You shouldn't be able to go back in. Yeah.
Our door was creaky too. And I was right in front of it. And of course everyone was going in and out the whole movie.
Gosh,
the volume and everything is a little too low on dialogue scenes. Cause it's all outdated. And I was just like, please, I just want to listen to Chadwick Boseman talk.
Yeah.
Please.
Okay, now we're going to stay spoiler free here for this episode, but rate the movie for me. You know, each of you, give me your kind of take on how it met your expectations, what you thought of the movie overall. And we'll start with Tim. What was your initial thoughts after seeing it the first time?
I love the movie. I thought they did really well taking a character who had a decent role in Civil War. And I think really made us really excited about the character with what we saw from the character and how he acted and what he did and the abilities that he had with a character that I was, you know, at least for me, I was loosely familiar with from the comics, but not very much. And so it was kind of a nice introduction, and then bring him into this movie. The great thing is that for folks, if for some reason you hadn't seen Civil War, they catch you up in the beginning of this movie really well. They cover everything that happened in Civil War that had to do with Black Panther and who he is and where he comes from and what happened to him. They catch you up in the first like 10 minutes of the movie. The cast is absolutely incredible, an absolutely insanely wonderful, incredible cast. And they did really well. It has a really cool story to it, which we had some conversation on Discord about this over the last couple of days. And again, without getting spoilery, it seemed like the first couple of acts had a lot of, there were so many parallels to James Bond. Mm-hmm. Types of films that came from it, because there were spy elements to it. And there are characters in the film who are like these really interesting analogs to James Bond characters. And I'm not going to go into saying who or what, because I folks just may not have seen it yet. Mm-hmm. What I will say is that Liz and I, this Black Panther is going to be our next episode for Movie Rampage. And you guys know we go 100% in the spoiler territory. So we're going to dive right in head first and talk about all of it. But yeah, I was just really impressed with the movie. Visually, it was absolutely stunning. Just everything from the backgrounds to the technology, to the fight scenes, to the costumes, everything. Just amazing. I loved it. I thought it was a great movie.
Awesome. And Shannon, where do you fall on this whole spectrum?
Same. I gotta say,
that's it. I'm out. Here's, same.
Here's what I'll do. I'll start from the very top. I love Ryan Coogler. Creed is one of my favorite movies, and not just because it takes place in Philadelphia and actually like was filmed here. Mm-hmm. It's just like the things, you know, I don't even know where to begin. I just really love, you know, what he does.
Okay.
And so from the beginning, I was very excited for this movie because he was directing it and Michael B. Jordan was working with him again, which is like A+ already on my book. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I came in already knowing that he is a fantastic director, especially when it comes to like these kinds of stories. And so I my expectation was like blown out of the water. I, for not one second, was bored. For not one second was I like sitting there criticizing anything. For the first time in a long time, I got to enjoy a movie and not think about anything because I knew it was taken care of. And there were so many incredible metaphors and messages in this movie that are important for everyone, not just, you know, one or two types of people. And the visuals, again, saying that just that, with the, this isn't a spoiler, but that first shot of Wakanda took my breath away. Mm-hmm. I got so emotional watching just the flyover. Mm-hmm. And like when you first see the Capitol, my God,
yeah,
I got very emotional and I don't even know why. The costumes, again, they're all in there. I've retweeted a thread today that tells you.
I think it was the same thread that I saw that I retweeted.
Tells you which cultures they're all inspired by.
Yes. Yes.
And the colors are just incredible. Nothing looks fake. Everything looks so incredibly real and beautiful. The fight scenes are incredibly well choreographed. Mm-hmm. And it feels like Wakanda feels like a place that is lived in.
Yeah.
So like that's all I can say without going into spoilers, but and the music, both the soundtrack and the score are both very good. So, you know, there's nothing here that I cannot like. I mean, and the two guys that are in it that you know, aren't Black are, you got two of the best actors you could get. Andy Serkis? Come on. First of all, I'm just happy Andy Serkis wasn't, you know, CGI'd to the nines.
Yeah, right, right.
for a rare occasion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Andrew Bassett was amazing. Letitia was incredible. Like, I think Shuri is now my new favorite character.
Oh my gosh. She's great.
Michael B. Jordan, just like, I want so many movies with him in it. I'll just say it like that. And Chadwick Boseman was just leading man I think we need. He was incredible. And there was so much emotion in his performance that, you know, the kind of thing you want from superhero movies and you often don't get. So yeah, Black Panther was, for me, it's one of my favorite movies I've seen in a long time. It's definitely my favorite MCU movie now, with Thor Ragnarok a close second. But I just, man, it totally blew all my expectations out of the water. I thought it was incredible.
Cool.
Okay, so I'm going to be the dissenting opinion here.
Lewis.
What? I wasn't totally blown away by
it. There's always going to be
that's one. Okay.
Yeah, there's always been one. That's all right. And that's me in this case. I mean,
look at Star Wars.
Did I enjoy it? Yes. I thought it was a great visual movie. You guys, you know, the visuals were awesome. The acting was awesome. The characters were incredible. Character development, maybe we need to work on that a little bit. But I thought the story was a little lacking. I don't think they gave us enough. I wanted more. Now, somebody who's not familiar with the character from the comics, I wanted more. I wanted more about Wakanda. I wanted more about the development of Wakanda with the vibranium and how that happened and what the, you know, I don't need to see a detailed year by year thing, but, you know, give me something. It's like, okay, big rock hit the country and now we're amazing. Okay, well, I need a little more there. What happened? What was the whole process? That's good
that you want more.
Well, yeah, it is, but...
Get us that sequel, Lou. Go out there and get it for us.
No, I want a sequel. I think it's a great movie.
Get the whole team back for the next movie.
But at the same time, it's like, okay, well, some of the writing was a little bit off because we didn't get some of that story I thought we needed for that. We didn't get hardly any character development of Killmonger, who I thought was an amazing villain, but we needed more. I didn't have a lot about his motivations. I didn't have a lot about why he, was doing what he was doing. It was like kind of a surprise to you. And then all the rest of the stuff in the movie, all the plot points were like spoon-fed to you and just telegraphed out from the beginning. It's like, okay, I'm not going to go into the details, but, I saw that coming. I saw that coming too. Wasn't really much of a surprise here. I mean, it wasn't, it seemed like it was lazy writing.
Really?
Yeah, to me it did.
I mean, for me, I don't know that I agree with all that. I mean, yeah, there were some parts where you could tell that something was coming, which is okay. I mean,
it is still an MCU movie.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm not expecting. Right. Not expecting it to be a Oscar winning story for Best Picture. No, it's not going to be. None of the MCU movies are going to be. But
some of it's predictable. But they do give you some spins in there. I will grant you the thing on Killmonger. It was a. Well, I think his story was fine and it was meaningful and he's a good villain. I think the transition into him from the earlier plot point and earlier villain was a touch awkward. But then once it happened, then I was fine with it because I kind of forgot about the transition and focused on him and what was going on.
Yeah. There's the small, when I think about the small plot detail that gives way to the revelation, wasn't touched on till we saw it. And I agree. Mm-hmm. That is, if that had been tied in at the seed point of the story at the beginning of the film, then we'd be having a different conversation. Then I would definitely disagree with you, but they didn't tie in that link. Yeah. I mean, I kind of figured it out as the movie went on based on, the composition of that scene again, talking about without spoiling it, but I'm hoping you guys understand.
Yeah, I understand where you're going. And
I got where it was going, but if they had tied in that tiny detail from the beginning, the way that, in a more I don't know the word I'm looking for, but if they had tied it in instead of just having it revealed when, T'Challa saw it, that it'd be a different conversation. But it feels like it would have been easier for more people to tie together if that had been kind of hinted at better earlier.
Well, I don't think I thought they hinted at it enough that you kind of got the gist of it going throughout the movie, but they still didn't have a lot of, and when I say character development, I'm not talking about spelling out where his background was and what that, I don't need those details that they were kind of letting you allude to in the movie, but they were, I just needed more of his motivations. I mean, he didn't seem like it was like he went from 0 to 60 in a heartbeat of how bad he was and why he wanted to do what he was doing. And it just didn't work for me when he comes to that part of it. So I don't know. It was just, I'll say it again. It was just, to me, it was lazy writing that they didn't give me enough to make me really want to hate that guy more, because I want to hate a good villain. I really do. And he just didn't seem that bad to me.
Sure. What I appreciated with the character development, and really this was across all the characters, with it, for me, I felt that they gave us just enough. Okay. They didn't dive into any extensive backgrounds or histories. You got to see enough of the character to understand them, and you got to see enough interaction with other key characters to understand some of their associations and their relationships. And I think that was, I think, you know, for me, that was enough. I'm certainly interested in learning more about a lot of these characters. And I think over time that's going to come. We know that, I mean, if you know, you check out the IMDb cast listing for Infinity War, we know we're going to get more than just T'Challa.
Yeah.
In Infinity War. So we're at least going to get, and not much, because keep in mind, Infinity War is freaking huge.
It's freaking huge.
Everybody's showing
up. Too big to fail.
Right.
So you're not going to get a lot of screen time.
You're going to get 5 seconds of screen time, and you're going to get 5 seconds of screen time, and you're going to get 5 seconds of screen time.
Exactly. Yeah. So they're going to pop in. And just the last thing that I want to say about it was I was very happy that there was no point in the movie in which I was bored. And every movie has ups and downs, and it has ebbs and flows, and it needs to. It can't be on all the time. Some people say, "Oh, well, it had these down. Movies had these down points." Well, they have to. That's a thing. You can't have constant action all the time, and like that would just be exhausting. But even the quote down times or the slower points of this movie were very interesting. The dialogue was meaningful. The story development that they had in that was meaningful. There were interesting things going on. There's technology things that are happening, and there's really important plot points that are happening, and the background is still compelling. And so even when you came down off of some of the action-y stuff, it was still, you were still sucked into it. And I love that part of it.
Yeah. I think, you know, I only have like 2 points left, but I wanted to tie this into Luz, because one of my biggest issues leading into this movie was the fact that I saw T'Challa in another trailer before I saw his movie. So I think part of the issue with how this movie is written that people can take issue with is the fact that he was introduced as a side character in another movie, unlike every other major character who had their own movie first. And that is kind of, you know, a stumbling block for T'Challa's character and his development, because we met him at the worst moment of his life in another person's movie. True. And so, you know, a lot of people were saying this before. A lot of people were criticizing the fact that we were seeing T'Challa in a side role in another movie before his own, but it didn't really start bothering me. You know, he did a great job. I won't argue that, absolutely, but you can't, you know, ignore the fact that every other major character, all these male characters, had their own movies, one or two, before the Avengers even started.
Right.
And he did not. This was literally his introduction before his own movie. And so that's a huge stumbling block to making sure he has a full, complete story, because you already got the inception or the conception of his story.
Well, and the same thing happened for Spider-Man.
Yeah.
For this reboot of Spider-Man, also in Civil War. And it's interesting because Spider-Man Homecoming kind of dealt with it the same way that Black Panther did, was they spent the first few minutes doing this kind of flashbacky thing that got people caught up right away.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But it was like, hey, these things happened. It was reflective, and boom, you're now in present time and you're moving forward. And
Black Panther did it very seamlessly too, which I super appreciated. Mm-hmm. And then when they used that plot later, it still felt natural.
Yes.
So.
But the difference between Black Panther and Spider-Man is people know Spider-Man. He's more of
that's true as well.
You know, he's more out in regular everyday people, not just, you know, comic book fans. Black Panther's not. So he didn't really have that. And I thought it worked well with him in the movie before this, but still, I wanted more. I wanted to learn more about, you know, how Wakanda got there and so forth. But, you know, we didn't get that. So to me, it was just it was a good movie. It just wasn't what I wanted. I wanted a lot more of that. But, and then Tim, to your point about the whole Bond thing, that took me out of the movie. Because I saw that immediately. I'm like, oh, that's a Bond. Okay, it doesn't really work for this. You know, I thought, I'm not in a Bond movie. I don't want this to be like Bond. You know, find a different way to do that.
It is a smaller scale movie, though. It's not like, you know, like a lot of the early, like the Iron, I'm not going to say early Marvel movies, because Thor wasn't small scale. It was kind of, but not in the same way. But You know, it was a protect Wakanda storyline, not save the world storyline.
Sure.
So for me, it can get away. I was just more excited to see like vulnerable male characters, especially vulnerable black male characters, because, you know, they have such a Hollywood perception of being these big, tough guys who don't take nonsense. And like these two men were just incredibly emotionally vulnerable because of the, you know, I won't, because of spoilers, because of things that we normally do not see any characters be emotional about, but especially black male characters. So I just want to say that that's another thing that did it for me, was like, you know, breaking down that myth and showing these men, like men, but black men, be vulnerable in a superhero movie. Incredible.
Yeah. And to the other side, the women were rocks.
Oh my God. Shuri was killing it. Angela Bassett was out there. The women in this movie, I realized it about a week before it came out, how stacked with talented women this movie was.
Oh yeah.
And they showcased them for a movie that wasn't about them. It showcased them incredibly well.
Yeah. And for folks, if you listen to it, and I know I've every few episodes, I tend to mention it. What was Nerdist and is now ID10T with Chris Hardwick. He just had his most recent episode has Danai Gurira on it, who we prior to Black Panther is really famous for Walking Dead, as her role in Walking Dead as Michonne. And who had an absolutely incredible role in Black Panther. And her and Chris have this this great dialogue, and obviously because of Walking Dead and Talking Dead, the talk show that Chris does following Walking Dead episodes, the two of them know each other and they have this really great dialogue, and you kind of get to know Danai a little bit better, and she has an incredible theater background. She's a great writer and all these other things. And they do talk about Walking Dead. They do talk about Black Panther. But it's a great episode. So if you haven't yet caught it, you know, by all means, go do so
Wakanda forever.
Of course.
We got to close this portion. We have to close this portion with Wakanda forever.
That's right.
Wakanda forever. Okay. Yeah. As long as they give me more backstory next time.
I said we were closing it with Wakanda forever.
Okay. I'm so
you were just telling me we should close it, and so I did.
She's running the show now. Wow. Why?
Already.
Let her in for 45 minutes, and she thinks she owns the place. Wow. Okay.
You're trying to help.
Okay, so we're going to speed through kind of the rest of this stuff. We don't have a lot of really depthful stories to talk about anyways, but first one here, just a real quick thing. It, too, is starting filming in June. This is going to be the second half of It that came out, in 2016? It was last year, right? I
thought it was last year.
So this will be the second half of the characters being 30 years older than they were in the original. And I guess the way the book does, I have not read the book. The way the book does, I guess they jump back and forth between the two time frames.
Kids
being adults to take on... you know, the evil villain at the end there. So it'd be interesting to see how they do this. The first one did remarkably well, much more than everybody thought it was going to do. So hopefully this will be the same kind of thing, and I'm looking forward to seeing it. You guys Transformers fans?
Oh, yeah.
Fans of the movies or fans of Transformers?
More a fan of Transformers.
Okay, that's it.
The first movie was good.
The first movie I really enjoyed. You know,
I did too. Yeah, exactly. It went off the rails from there.
I watched one Transformers cartoon every once in a while when I was a kid on Cartoon Network, but I can't remember which one it was.
Yeah, I watched a few of them as a kid too. I was never really huge in Transformers, but I liked the franchise. I liked the concept.
Now I'm going to Google it because now I'm curious. We'll keep talking, but I'm going to figure
it's great for
this
a podcast. Yeah, yeah. So now we're possibly getting a rebooted franchise. I'm pretty excited about this. No more Michael Bay. He's stepping away. And Hasbro has announced that is in talks, I guess, to reboot the series after the Bumblebee release later this year.
Which gives no confidence to the Bumblebee movie.
I know. Does it? If you're in the movie, you're going to be thinking, wait, they're going a different direction?
No, because the Bumblebee movie is an all-Transformers remake of B-movie.
Yeah.
In case you didn't know, I wasn't sure if you were aware of that.
It just kind of, you know, okay, so we're going to wait for this one to die. And then once it does, then we're going to go do something really cool. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of a bummer. Because actually the concept of the Bumblebee movie kind of sounds better. It sounds like they've started to learn some lessons from this Michael Bay series. And they're going to apply it to that. But I think they've realized, Hasbro realized as a whole, yeah, no, we just need to just get past mm-hmm. this and do something else completely yep. different, which I'm okay with. The thing is, overall, and I know Eric has some really bad, angry words for this.
He does.
You know, the movies weren't completely bad. They had some good things to them. Like I said, I really liked the first movie. The other movies, they had some positive points, some redeeming value to them. But all in all, they just kind of seem to be more of more. You know, Michael Bay couldn't mm-hmm. help himself.
Yeah.
Let's have a crap ton of action-y things going on at the same time, just yep. to the point that your eyes can't possibly comprehend anything that's happening.
Michael Baying.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the stories themselves weren't bad. Except for the last one, the Dark Side of the Moon or whatever.
No, the last one was last night.
I didn't even yeah. bother seeing that one.
I only saw the first one, maybe. No, you know what? I think I saw the first two.
Yeah.
I think that's it for me.
It just got to me that the fight scenes all looked the same, and you couldn't tell who was who. It was like, okay, two shiny metal objects fighting that, okay, whatever.
And it was just, for people who can't see, I'm just like.
He's doing thing where you like things. Move your fingers together.
It was
together.
Just way too much going on.
Yeah, because that's all you could see, and they would do close-ups of it, so you couldn't comprehend where one creature began and the other one ended. It was odd. Speaking of Megan Fox, though.
We were
speaking of Megan Fox.
Did you guys see the mixed doubles curling competition, the team with the athletes from Russia?
I've heard about this. I have not seen it.
The woman, there's apparently, what were they saying? That she's, I guess there's like this argument that she either looks more like Megan Fox or more like Laura Croft, actress.
Oh, Alicia Vikander.
Nope, old one.
Oh, Angelina Jolie.
Yes.
There you go.
Oh, I might have been too far away from my mic for that.
Just really, really funny. I mean, she's attractive. But it was just funny that like even the Olympics, the broadcasters even mentioned that like, hey, this is the debate that's going on.
Oh my God.
She's insanely talented though. She's actually one of the best curling throwers that like I saw in any of the mixed doubles competition. But yeah, just really funny. So this, speaking of Megan Fox, speaking of Transformers.
Yeah. I haven't actually seen her curl, but I have seen the controversy on some of the social media about that.
Yeah. The only meme I've seen is the Korean athlete who had the Olympic sunglasses on, he whipped them off and he was wearing aviators underneath.
Oh yeah.
That's good. Yeah.
That was very good. Also all the memes about the two American snowboarders.
Yep.
Not Shaun White. I mean, Chloe Kim and I don't remember the other kid's name, but they're very funny kids.
Yes. Yeah.
They're very funny.
I thought it was funny that the kid that won the slope style competition, he was talking, he's like, yeah, I'm finally understanding what this whole Olympic thing is all about. When I first heard about it, I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll go. I'm like, what? I'm like, kids these days, he's into the X Games and the Do Tour, but you know, the Olympics, oh yeah, whatever, sure, I'll try it. I'll give it a shot.
The fact that he almost missed his event because he was up late watching Netflix.
Yeah.
And then cursed on live television, almost forgot his coat. I mean, that kid's a legend already.
Yeah.
And Chloe Kim tweeting.
I don't know if they understand that, you know, what, like 80% of all snowboarders are, you know, probably, you know, toking up between each run. I mean, I don't know. It's just not the Olympic spirit. I think they're, you know,
Chloe
embodying.
Kim just wanted her breakfast sandwich. Like,
that was funny too. She goes, I'm totally regretting not having the rest of that sandwich. Yeah, that was good.
I'm getting hangry.
Getting hangry.
Hey, if she gets hangry, wins gold medals, hey, why not, right?
I mean, exactly. If it works, it works.
Yeah.
Okay, back to the show notes. Because Shannon sidetracked us there. This is not that getting sidetracked show.
You guys,
this is,
we're talking about the Olympics.
I mentioned Megan Fox. That is my fault.
I wanted to blame Shannon. Here we go. Tim, don't.
I thought Liz's we blamed
Liz.
Liz's fault.
Okay, Liz's fault. Yep, there we go. You. Okay, back on track. So,
Stargate Origins.
You guys know anything about Stargate Origins?
I remember the teaser. The behind-the-scenes teaser.
The only Stargate thing I've seen is the original movie, and I watched it because I was sick and didn't want to go to bed.
It's a good movie.
Wow, so you're telling me you're not a fan.
It's just that's all I've seen. I just never looked it. But I have nothing against it. No, I've just seen the movie.
Well, I mean, you know, Stargate's got quite a bit of stuff out there. There's been, what, three or four movies?
It's got quite a lot,
And there's three series now, I think. There was SG-1, there was Atlantis, and
Universe?
Infinity, right? Universe, yeah. And so now there's a new one coming out, Stargate Origins. It's going to be about the early days of the Stargate program back when what was the woman's name? I'm totally blanking out on
the
character. The old woman that was,
you know, had the... I just remember, not Kevin.
Kevin. Who's Kevin?
It's late. I didn't mean Kevin. I meant Spader.
James Spader.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, Stargate Origins is going to be a brand new series coming out, and you can only see it on, well, at least at first, on StargateCommand.co. And you've got to get a subscription, so you got to pay their all access fee, which is $20. It's a one time fee, which isn't bad, right? You know,
well, that's not bad at all. Fee. You're basically buying it.
Right. Exactly. And the first three episodes are out now. And you have until May 15th to watch the next seven episodes. They're going to release those weekly along the way.
So for $20, I get the whole series.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
And they're 10 episodes. They're only 10 minutes long.
What?
It's just they're short. They're just compact, I guess you'd say. You know,
keep talking. I'm pulling out my calculator.
You need a calculator to do that?
So they're 10-minute episodes. If I read this right, I'm like, what?
10 times 10.
Doesn't seem right. So for this $20 fee, you're going to get the access to the entire Stargate streaming library, which is pretty extensive.
Okay.
You're right. And early access to the new series. You see it before it's anywhere else, which is cool, right?
Okay.
And you get behind-the-scenes access to the Stargate Origin stuff, which, you know, is pretty cool. You have the writer's room stuff and how they come up with some of the things going on. And that's kind of cool.
Okay.
This one I'm scratching my head on. They're giving you an authentic members-only digital edition of the Stargate Origins plot pilot script. Sorry. So is that like a PDF? I mean.
Yeah, a digital edition of a pilot script. So yeah,
so they're just gonna PDF. Some guy in the office goes, "Okay, save copy as," and then emails it to you.
Well, like or
what?
That's not
you're
gonna
just
leave.
Gonna like scan it. Maybe you don't even get like the actual, hey, here's the, you know, the source document. They found an extra copy laying around the set somewhere.
The pages were put in the copy are kind of askew. So each one's got like a little bit of black on the corner.
Black marks all over it.
Like who's okay.
It's creased because it was folded up and stuck in someone's back pocket. There's a coffee ring on one of the pages.
Coffee ring on page, yeah.
Listen, all you needed to do is tell me I get the whole library and that's worth it. You don't have to add a weird script element.
But from what I can tell, you only get it until the end of May.
Wait, the whole library till the end of May?
Yeah, and then your access goes away.
Wait, no. That's so confusing.
If I read this right, yeah.
I don't
like
that.
I'm scratching my head.
I'm going to open it. I see you hovering over it, so I'm going to open it.
Yeah.
I can't handle that.
It just doesn't make sense to me. I'm like, okay, what why would, so I go to the frequently asked questions.
Are they going to take the script away at the end of May too?
You have to send it back.
Or it's like in the terms and conditions that you check off that you agree to that, like, at the end of, you know, at the stroke of midnight on May 15th, 2018, you must delete this file.
So on the frequently asked questions page, it says, what is Stargate Command All Access Pass? All Access Pass is a membership tier of Stargate Command, offering fans the ultimate access to Stargate Command. By purchasing an All Access Pass, you will have exclusive content at your fingertips, which you may access on up to three devices for the entire access period. access period.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I see what it is.
All access starts on September 20th, 2017. So we missed that. That was months ago.
Yeah.
It ends on May 15th, 2018. After May 15, 2018, the All Access content will no longer be available through the All Access Pass, but you will still be a member of the Stargate Command community, which will continue. I'm like, wait, okay, that's it? I get nothing after that period? I mean, I can get into the command thing and look around, but I can't watch anything? I can't, you know, I don't get it.
You should email them and ask.
All access will be available from September 20, 2017 to May 15, 2018.
That seems so wrong.
Ending at 11:59 p.m. Pacific time, period.
I can't handle that.
I mean, I really wanted this to be What Were They Thinking Weekly for this week, but it didn't make the cut, but it definitely leaves me scratching my head.
No, I do also want to, you know, pat ourselves on the back for the awesome timely reporting that we have here that this, you know, started in September and we're reporting on it now.
It came out now because the first three episodes dropped yesterday or 2 days ago.
I
saw that
when I was reading it. Yeah, the
15th. Until now, you've had access to stuff that you had access to before on, like, you know, Netflix or something that they took away access, and now you can only see it through Stargate Command.
Yeah, it's very strange, especially if it doesn't say it'll be somewhere else. Like,
I mean, I'm assuming it's going to be back on Netflix or something soon, or, you know, but I'm thinking, oh, I'd like to see a new series of Stargate stuff. And I'm like, 10-minute episodes? What? 10-minute episodes? Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's weird.
Okay, anyway. So another thing that left me scratching my head this week. I saw this story on Dark Horizons. And they were talking about how things could have been different if certain people had made certain decisions. And, you know, here's the back in hindsight, 2020. So say you were a young executive at Sony back in 98.
Which I'm not, and, but if I was.
But just say you were, you know, just pretend. And you're negotiating with Marvel, who at the time was, you know, near bankruptcy, you know, looking for money, and they were in real hard times before the whole MCU thing took off. And you're trying to get the rights to Spider-Man for Sony.
Sure.
You had the DVD rights. You're trying to get rights to the movie so you can make new movies, because your plans were. And you come back to your boss and say, okay, they're going to give us Spider-Man, but they want to include all the other Marvel characters for one price of $25 million. And your bosses go to you, nobody gives a blank about the other Marvel characters. Go back and get a deal for Spider-Man only.
Yeah, we don't need all that crap. No one cares about Wolverine. Screw Wolverine.
Who cares about the X-Men?
No one cares about the Hulk.
Who cares about Iron Man? Who cares about the Avengers? No, get rid of that. We don't need that.
I'll give Iron Man. Iron Man wasn't that well known outside of the comic book community until Robert Downey Jr.
You could have had the entire suite for $25 million.
Yeah.
Now, mind you, after that happened, you know, things changed and Marvel became, you know, more powerful, and they're owned by Disney now, and they did their movies, and, you know, Marvel Studios have made around $13 billion. That billion with a B, not
25 million, folks. Okay, a little bit of context.
Sleep over this.
Little bit of context. Black Panther made 192 million in 2.5 days. 192 million, 2.5 days. They could have had all of this for $25 million. Still a lot of money, I grant you.
Yeah.
But holy crap, look at the return on investment.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Now, the thing I was thinking about when I first read this was, wow, you know, what a colossal screw up that was in that guy. But you think about this, and at the time, the characters were nothing. Marvel Studios didn't exist. The movies weren't out there that we see today. And comic book stuff was really not that popular. Would Sony have done justice to these movies like we have today? 50
Shades Freed made $50 million in its first weekend.
Yeah. That's not a superhero movie though, Tim.
I know, but it made more than $25 million.
Yeah. But would we have gotten the movies that we have? I mean, would Sony have done crap and we would have gotten nothing, and now we wouldn't have the MCU?
Well, I mean, you never know. I mean, it's tough.
Would they have taken the chance? Would they have made Ant-Man?
God, I would hope not.
I would Jim, come on. No.
It's so difficult to speculate. And we talked about this a little bit before the show. I think it might be in the bonus content. The first Spider-Man series with, what's his name?
Tobey Maguire.
As the night goes on, I forget names more and more. I don't even know your names. I have no idea.
I'm Lou. That's Shannon.
So.
No, sure. I'm Lizzie.
Oh, that's right. Sorry.
You know, it certainly the first movie wasn't bad. As time kind of went on with the sequels to it, it was less impressive. And while it wasn't without its issues, it was still pretty good. And I think, you know, Sony could have made a good effort with some of the characters. I mean, you just don't know. It's so hard to tell what they would have done, what they would have made a commitment to and thrown resources at, and who they would have gotten to play certain characters. They certainly, you know, there's a certain vision that Marvel Studios, particularly under Disney, has had, and that has been a big part of their success. And we see that cohesive vision not really existing over at Fox, as they did things with X-Men and with Fantastic Four, and things that Sony has done with Spider-Man, and things that DC and Warner Brothers have done with their stuff. It's really been about the cohesive vision and the willingness of Marvel Studios to invest in the right talent and both the on-screen and off-screen talent to make these things happen.
Yeah.
Who knows? It's so hard to speculate.
I mean, the important thing to remember is too that those early MCU movies weren't Disney. Iron Man was Paramount. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Paramount, you know, took a risk, threw it out there to Marvel, and wow.
Yeah.
Here we are. It became so profitable that Disney bought it.
Right. I think that if we had right, and if somebody else did these movies, we wouldn't probably have what we have today. So I'm happy it worked out the way it did. I mean,
shout out to Paramount. You started something, and you maybe don't have it anymore, but my DVD still says it was you, buddy. My DVD still says it was Paramount. I believe in you, Paramount.
Yeah, but they're also the ones that are behind the whole CBS All Access thing probably too. So
yeah, that's true. But when it comes to the MCU, they started it.
That's right.
Okay, so rounding out our news, we have two trailers that came out this week that I'm pretty excited about. First up, we have Ready Player One. Do you guys see the final trailer for this?
I haven't seen the final trailer yet.
There wasn't much different in this one from the other one, but
this seems to me, I mean, there's bits that they add to this one that weren't in the other two that connect it even more to the book for me.
Oh, really? Okay.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
I was thinking it kind of went the other way for me, but what do you think that? What connected it for you?
Just a little, and they were little pockets of scenes that more things with some of the key characters and with the haptic gear and that kind of stuff that just seemed to connect it a little bit more for me. So when I saw it, I was really excited about it. I was really happy that it's out, and I can't wait for this movie.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think earlier when you had left Mike for a minute, we were talking about the movie, and I'm excited about this one more so than anything else coming up in the next month or so. I am really, really happy this is being made. I'm trying to temper myself against what there's going to be changes for the book, because the book is so good and the movie is not going to be the same. It's not going to be the same story. It's going to be a little bit different, tweaked for the screen versus, on the page. And I think that some of it is, you know, they're trying to make it so it's more action oriented on screen.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of stuff in the book that's, you know, exposition of him talking about something that you can't have a character just talk about. You got to show it somehow. And how do you show that? So it's going to be harder to translate that to the visual medium.
Yeah, it's very internal.
Exactly. And I think that something that Eric was mentioning on Discord today that I think kind of puts in perspective for me is the trailers are actually setting an expectation for me of the movie being different than the book.
Yes.
Which is better than me going into the movie cold going, whoa, wasn't in the book, you know?
Yeah.
So they've definitely made some changes. There's some scenes that we've seen in the trailers that it's like, I don't ever remember that in the book.
Whichever the whole race thing was not in the book. Yeah. We're like, okay, where'd that come from? Yeah. In this new trailer, though, like the whole, they show a key, which is cool. Yeah, but towards the end when they're in H's motorhome, mm-hmm. and there's that car chase scene where she's getting broadsided. I'm like, okay, that wasn't even close to being in the yeah. book.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, and it seems like there's a lot more of the characters in the real world in the movie mm-hmm. than there was in the book.
Yeah.
Because almost the entire book took place in, in the Oasis.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it's one of these things that we've talked about before. You know, books are obviously, writing a book is different than writing a movie. Mm-hmm. And when you're doing an adaptation, you need to, I mean, if they were to make a movie purely out of a book, this would be a very, very long movie.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Many hours of movie.
I mean, I have this argument a lot about The Expanse mm-hmm. because, you know, most of the changes have been like in keeping with shifting to a visual medium. But there are some things Holden, unfortunately, has gotten the most losses from mm-hmm. switching because he's an internal character. But, you know, there's only so much that you can keep the same or. Yeah. Like, I understand cutting the travel time out, that kind of thing. There are some things you have to forgive a visual narrative.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, definitely.
For doing that, you know, book narratives cannot do.
Sure.
Or have to do differently just because you're reading a book, you can take that time. A show or a movie can't take that time.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And if you're going to jump from D to M, you, in many cases, still in the movie, have to build that bridge from D to M, even though you're not covering all those details. So you may do that by pulling together a bunch of plot points and kind of weaving them together, maybe stand them on their head, do something a little bit different. Or
make them do a flip.
Yeah, or create something entirely new that just says, okay, look, we can't go into all this detail and all this story, but still we have to get from here to here. Mm-hmm. And so how do we do that? So, you know, they may create something new. And it's just like reading, if you read like a historical fiction and, you know, there's a lot of historical fiction, which is based on actual historical stuff. And
I love the Killer Angels, BTW.
Yeah. And I read some of the historical fiction stuff that at the end of the book, the author will say, here's what's real. And here's the stuff that either I left out or, like a book series I read on Julius Caesar. And the author said, well, I had to take these two real life people and make them into one. And I put them into this point in the plot because otherwise I would have needed another book just to explain who the hell.
Right. I mean, Assassin's Creed has a very similar issue when it comes to historical fiction because there's only so much history you can fit into them. I mean, the Ezio games have a lot of time jumps to cover historical events.
Sure.
And a lot of people are like condensed or, you know, again, are putting that time jump, like the Roman, Brotherhood, especially because Brotherhood has the real, you know, the Borgias in it and all that.
Yep.
But then of course, the Black Flag, which deals with very popular, well-known pirate history and still adapted it, but in a way that, you know, fit in the history, but still we knew wasn't going to be quite right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, and I get all that and I'm sure I'm going to like the movie. You've got to go in tempered though, thinking that you're not going to get exactly what we read in the book and that's okay. You know, if it's done well and it's written well and the characters are acted well, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, you'll forgive it. You'll forgive it if you love it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So I'm looking forward to that. That's my next big go-to thing. Even though there's a lot of stuff good coming out next month, I'm most excited about that.
Yeah.
Something's a little further off. We did finally get a trailer for Incredibles 2.
Yes.
They teased this during the Super Bowl, and they finally gave us a full trailer a couple days ago. It looks
very good.
It looks hysterical.
Math is math, guys.
Yeah,
math
that was good.
Is math.
No, Dad, they say you got to do it this way. What? How can you change math? Yeah, I love that.
It's just, you know, it's just, oh man, it's just so reminiscent of like real life dad things. Cause like my mom was an ER, not an ER nurse, but she was a nurse and she worked a lot of nights. So when I was a kid, my dad was the one who was around during the day. And so I'm watching this. I'm just like, yeah, this sounds about right. And to this day, my dad still cooks dinner almost every night, which is apparently weird to some people. But he likes to cook. It's just, it's fun, you know, watching somebody. What I thought was really fascinating about this trailer is, you know, it's very much obvious that Elastigirl is picked to be a hero, and mm-hmm. he decides to support his wife.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that's awesome, because, you know, we live in a society where people still, you know, some people still expect women to take a backseat for their mm-hmm. husband's careers in heterosexual relationships. Mm-hmm. And this is an incredible thing where he clearly wanted this opportunity. It was given to his wife. Mm-hmm. And rather than angsting about it, he tells his best friend, he's like, I want her to succeed. So yeah. I am going to succeed. And I thought that was just from the, like, in the trailer. It's not even in, we haven't even gotten the movie yet. But sure. that message in the trailer yeah. just says so much about what this movie could probably be.
Yeah. Well, and it's just, you know, it's so, the first one was timely, and this one is timely, being in the midst of this, you know, big explosion of superhero movies. And it kind of, while making some really important points, it also, you know, makes fun of them a little bit. Mm-hmm. And it explores facets of being a superhero that the movies generally don't, you know, and that's that, hey, you still have to have a family and you still have to do right. all these things.
Yeah.
And really this, the Spider-Man movies are kind of the only other ones that even barely touched on that, because, and most of that is because of Peter's age and, you know, still living with his aunt and all this other stuff. So he still has these commitments in school and that kind of thing. But a lot of the other ones, you know, it's, we focus on them being superheroes, and that's cool because that's what we all like, but it's just, it looks like it's going to be another fun movie.
Mm-hmm. It does. Yeah.
And I wonder if we'll get like another version of the Frozone scene, which has withstood the test of time and is still hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
The Where's My Super Suit scene. And yeah. nothing seems to portrait the father experience. And at the very end, when I forget what the baby's name is, when he bites him and just Jack. Jack blank face, no, we don't bite daddy.
Yeah, right.
Like that made me laugh. And you know, having all these favorite characters coming back, you know, it's just I'm very excited. This is a sequel that I've been waiting for a very long time. Because I was really young when The Incredibles came out.
Mm-hmm.
And
don't go there.
I'm not gonna say how old I was.
Don't make us feel old. You'll never
I don't
be
even remember
back.
How old I was when this came out. But you know, the fact that we sat through all these other sequels first because they could sell toys, but everyone just wanted a sequel to The Incredibles because it set itself right. up for one. And I'm so grateful that they finally like gave in. I don't know how long they were planning this before they announced that they were going to do it. But I'm really glad it's finally happening, because this is a movie series that I wish was more franchised than it is.
Right. I mean, the first one was 2004, so we are way beyond when we should have had a trailer for this. A sequel to this.
Way due for a sequel to The Incredibles.
Exactly. Okay, so that brings us to the end of the news this week. Tim, I'm going to throw it over to you for the What Were They Thinking? I know you've put this note in here that Carrie brought this up to us, Carrie from our Discord community.
Mm-hmm. I've been thinking about this
staff.
The entire time.
And I've kind of glanced through the article, but I haven't read the nuances, and I hope you have got more details than I do, Tim.
Well, you know, I'm not quite sure what there is to give. So the article here, and again, credit to Carrie for sending this over to us, and it's definitely appropriate for What Were They Thinking? The state of California is being sued for not recognizing Bigfoot. There is a woman in California who is a self-proclaimed Bigfoot enthusiast and researcher for more than 20 years. She has claims encounters with that little critter. And
little critter.
He's not little.
She has
a
name.
Bigfoot. Big's right in the name.
Tim.
I mean, you have like, you know, guys named Tiny who are like, you know, really big guys. You know. So she has filed a suit against the state of California to force it to recognize the existence of the Sasquatches, which, for those of you not familiar, that's, you know, like another name for Bigfoot. The lawsuit alleges that the state's actions have damaged her reputation. Sure. And endangered the public. I'm not quite sure how. Her suit
because
follows
they're one... not warning Americans of the threat of Bigfoot.
Yeah. Her suit follows one followed by someone in November against British Columbia, in which it's alleged that it's a dereliction of duty pertaining to the interests of an indigenous wildlife species. Both lawsuits are followed by a promise for legal action. Both Canada and the United States have forced them to recognize the existence of Sasquatches / Bigfoot. Let's see, the case in California is scheduled for a status hearing in March 19th. And the person intends to introduce evidence to prove the existence of Sasquatches. So my guess is unless we get some kind of, you know, new definitive evidence of Billy the Sasquatch and his family, I'm guessing the judge is going to dismiss this case entirely. So
you think?
Well, I don't know.
Evidence is very good.
If it's really
a researcher.
Yeah, hey, you never
know. If it's really good, wouldn't we already accept the fact that there's Bigfoot?
Who's that guy that did Expedition Unknown or whatever? I forget his name, but he extensively looked for the Yeti, and he was very funny. And I don't know if he found the Yeti.
Very funny.
He entertained us the whole time. He's a really funny guy. I wish I could remember his name, but he had two shows on Discovery. Where he did like mythical creatures and went to go find them. If I remember, I'll tweet it or whatever. But he's hilarious.
Well, you know, I have heard at some point in this video, she has video of Bigfoot, Nessie, and a unicorn.
All three at once?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
They're playing poker. They're sitting around the table playing poker.
They're in a clearing and they're just playing poker. Yeah.
Holy crap.
Yeah. So we do have. We do have another What Were They Thinking, which through the magic of podcasting technology, science, and some waving of a hand, that Eric is going to be popping in as a guest to explain a particular situation that he came across. So we'll have that right now.
All right. So first, I want to thank you guys for letting me hop in and do this What Were They Thinking segment here. I have a question. Lou, you work in the...
Lou, hang on.
Uh-oh.
Lou, did your check clear? Because mine didn't yet.
Not yet. I figured I'd give him the benefit of the doubt.
Oh.
Well, that was silly of you.
All right.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I guess if you're going to, then I can too.
I'll cut him Slack this time.
Wow.
No. You're going to cut him Discord. We don't do Slack anymore.
We don't do Slack anymore. That's right.
I can just cut you entirely. I edit the audio here.
That's very true. Very true.
Yeah. So
I need him to cut out that little bobble I had earlier in the episode. So
yeah, I don't know if that's going to happen now. So Lou, you work in the customer service industry to a certain extent, right? You
yes. Yeah. I deal with the public in a retail environment. Yep.
Okay, so just out of curiosity, before I get started here, if I walked into your establishment with a broken Nintendo Switch and I said that I need you to service this, what would you say?
Well, we take care of power equipment, sir, so I don't think I can handle your Switch.
Okay.
Okay, I mean, if I service right. Like that kind of stuff.
No. I mean, you work with like a lot of like heavy duty equipment and stuff like that primarily.
Yeah,
right?
Not so much lawnmowers. Okay. Yeah. Right. Well, no, we deal to the consumer. I mean, you know,
well, consumers, but not consumer electronics, video game systems.
No.
Right.
No.
Okay. All right. So I'll come back to that in a moment.
But customer service in general is kind of the same no matter where you go, really. I mean,
well, you know, it's funny because you would think that customer service should be the same wherever you go. You would think that. We got my son a Nintendo Switch for his birthday last year. And we decided to get the protection plan on it. We got it from Toys R Us. And we were debating whether or not to get it. And we thought, well, you know, he's going to carry it with him everywhere. He has autism. He's very much into electronics. And it's kind of a soothing activity for him when he gets stressed or has anxiety. And we realized we probably need to get the protection plan. And the guy at Toys R Us said, yeah, just, you know, if anything happens to it, bring it on in. We'll take care of it. And we're like, yeah, okay. So something happened to it. And we needed to bring it on in to get it taken care of. And so my son's down visiting this weekend, and we took down to a Toys R Us, which is about a half hour away. And they, as I was explaining to them what happened, they said, let me stop you right there. You need to call this number. And I said, oh, no. You are not about to tell me what I think you're about to tell me. And they get this brochure for, and I've got it here in front of me, Square Trade. Number one rated protection, it says here on the front. Mm-hmm. So we got into a little argument there, and I wanted to know why I was told multiple different times at multiple different Toys R Us's that I have bought things from and gotten protection plans on, why I would be told that I could bring it back to the Toys R Us if that's not the case.
Mm, right.
And of course, their response was, oh, yeah, no, they shouldn't have ever told you that. I'm like, yeah, I figured out that they shouldn't have ever told me that. Thank you, Happy Helper.
But they did.
So, yeah. So I went out to the car and I called this 1-800 number. And one of the first things that comes up with is it wants you to choose which retailer you're going through. And I had to choose number 7 for other retailers. The primary retailers for them are the likes of Amazon and Costco and Target. And I started to realize these are the people who insure like all kinds of stuff everywhere. And I'm thinking, now this is great. This is really not going to go that well. So I get someone on the phone. And I'll try to give you guys the short version, because even though we're recording this after your random chatter recording, I'm sure that the episode is probably about 2 hours long. So I don't want to run this. I don't want to run this too long here.
Hour and a half.
Oh, that's not too bad. So the long and the short of it is that he is sending me a shipping label through email. I need to find a box, ship this out to them. They will take a look at it, determine whether or not it's broken, and then ship it back to me.
Broken or fixed?
do you want my explanation or theirs?
So they get it, they determine it's broken, and they ship it back to you.
Yeah, it's broken, sir.
They ship something back to me. They either repair it or replace it, apparently.
Okay.
And I said, okay, so first of all, that's not the way it was explained to me when I bought it. Second of all, if I'd known I was going to be without it for that long, I would have bought it from Best Buy, where I could get a protection plan for the same price, walk in, go up to the counter and say, hey, it doesn't work, and they give me a new one.
Sure.
And he said, well, we have to make sure it's actually broken. I said, this is a known issue with the left controller. It's called a Joy-Con, the two little controllers that stick on the side. Mm-hmm. I said, it's a known issue. It loses Bluetooth connectivity. It's a known issue to the extent where Nintendo has changed their manufacturing on those. This is only an issue on the earlier models of the Nintendo Switch, of which this is one. And this is after a whole bunch of other things about, you know, I'm giving him the receipt number and the cashier number and the store number and the date and time off the receipt and the serial number off the device. And then he wants to know which kind of DS it is. Is it a 3DS? Is it a 2DS? I just paused and I said, I don't know what's in your computer system for all this, but you know, we've been talking about a Nintendo Switch this whole time.
Not a DS.
Right? Yes, but I need to select one of these in the computer. I said, you really don't. He had to go and create an entire new category. Again, now, Amazon, Target, Costco, Toys R Us, it falls under the other retailers. These guys cover like everything in the world for all of these big stores, and they don't even have a Nintendo Switch in their system. The number one selling game console of 2017, and they've been securing it for a year now, and they don't even have it in their computer system?
That's so odd.
So then
that's
he has to add it to the computer system, and then all of a sudden, you know, we're good to go. And I said, listen, how long is it going to take to get this back? Because the two issues are, one is a known issue, and the other is my son's save games keep disappearing. So it looks like there's something faulty about the memory chip or something like that. And he said, well, you know, we have to run some tests on it. And I said, well, how are you going to run the test? Are you going to play games on it for like a month and then see if it loses any of the save games? What exactly are you going to do, and how long is it going to take? And I explained, you know, my son has autism. This is his safety blanket, you know, like Linus from Peanuts. This is his thing. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to get into all of the stuff going on with my family right now, but my son's got a lot of issues going on at school. He's under a lot of anxiety, and this is a really bad time to take a device he relies on and just say, yeah, you're going to be without it for however long. He said, well, you know, we can expedite this. And I said, great. How long does expediting take? Well, that depends on how long it takes for them to look at it. I said, well, that doesn't sound any different from what you said a minute ago. Listen,
no,
this is not right. What we signed up for. This is not the way all of these other stores work. I'm livid right now. This is ridiculous. If I'd known this was the case, I never would have signed up for you guys, and I never would have bought it through Toys R Us. I would have gone to a retailer where I can walk in and have it taken care of, like I was told was the case when I purchased it.
Right, right.
And I got upset, and I went up one side of him and down the other. And he said, well, I tell you what, I can make a special exception in your case where you don't have to send it in. And I said, that's exactly what I need. What do I have to do? He said, we need to have you take it to a repair shop, and then they can repair it there. And then if for some reason they're unable to repair it, then we go from there. And I said, okay, so how do you contact the repair shop or something, or how does that work? He said, no, I'll give you a list of authorized repair shops in your area, and then you pay for it. We reimburse you the cost of it. I said, nice. So I'm either out the device for God knows how long, or I'm out my own personal money for God knows how long. How is this good customer service?
Yeah.
Which, of course, he was unable to answer, because obviously the answer is it's not. I said, you know what? Fine. Just give me the name of the repair centers that can fix this Nintendo Switch. And by the way, you know, I've worked in consumer electronics long enough. I have fixed tablets and cell phones and things like that. I know that there are no service centers around for the Nintendo Switch, because Nintendo does not make the parts available to third-party service centers. So what you're telling me, I know for a fact it's incorrect, but, you know, if this is what it takes, go ahead and give me the information and we'll go through the process. So he gives me, Martinsburg Service Center and Alden's Repair Center. I said, listen, there's a part of me that assumes that you're just messing with me right now. And I didn't use the word messing. But then there's a part of me that understands that it sounds like you're from India, which I have no problem with. You're communicating very well to me, and I appreciate that. But I can't imagine that someone in India would be that familiar with these locations in Martinsburg, West Virginia, to be able to mess with me on a level like this. And he said, sir, I'm not messing with you. These are the repair shops that can take care of this for you. I said, I want you to tell me of these two repair shops, should I take it to the auto mechanic or should I take it to the lawnmower repair?
No. No.
Oh, boy.
So, Lou, if I walked into your place of work and I asked you to repair my Nintendo Switch, you think you can hook me up, you know, since we podcast together?
You know, I'd try. I'd really try. We have some, you know, large hammers in the back. And
there you go.
And a couple of vices and, you know, that kind of stuff that we could probably make something work.
Wow.
I paid money so someone in a different country can send me to a mechanic. A mechanic I've dealt with before and will never go back to because they broke my car. Wow. So I'm certainly not going to take my kids' electronics there, even if they could fix it, which they can't. And I kept thinking, you know, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to record myself and then I'm going to post it to YouTube. Because how hilarious would that be? So I said, it's frustrating because I know you can't just be messing with me because there's no way for you to know this, but I'm telling you, it's an automotive mechanic and the other one does tractor repair. Well, sir, these are the two things that come up that say that they can repair. I said, but they obviously. OK, so if I go in there, what do I have to document for you when they say that they can't fix this? He said, well, we just need a piece of paper from them indicating that it can't be repaired. And then we go from there. I said, great. I can get that for you within the next 45 minutes. Now, when you say we can go from there, what's the next step? And there's a pause. And he said, well, I email you a shipping label and you find a box to put it in. And then I said, no.
I think
hold
we heard
on.
That story before.
I said, this is absolutely unacceptable. I'm not going to go for weeks without this device because you guys, I mean, can't you just send me a replacement device or something? Can you just send me the replacement controllers? Given that it's a known issue that Nintendo has already started, you know, they've recalled other controllers. Nintendo, if I contact Nintendo, they just send the customer a new controller. I don't have to send them anything back at all, let alone do it first. Well, sir, I gave you another alternative, trying to do you a favor because of your extenuating circumstances. I said, send me to a mechanic. You did me a favor? Did you just tell me that you did me a favor by sending me to a place that fixes cars? Did you literally just tell me that you're doing me a favor?
Well, some cars have a lot of electronics on them nowadays. Maybe these guys are, they fix the video console in the car.
They pop out the in-dash system. Yeah.
Maybe at this point, have you asked for a supervisor yet?
No, I, because my wife is going to be the one having to deal with part of this. I said, send me the shipping label and I will probably be contacting you again within 48 hours and exploring alternatives further.
See, I always find those kind of places work best when you say, I'm having trouble understanding you. Can I talk to the tier 2 tech support? And you get some English-speaking kid in California that can help you in 2 seconds.
Here's what the plan is. Now, so I want to point out, listen, the guy was fair. And I had to say at the end of the conversation, I said, listen, I want you to understand, I'm not upset with you personally. Right. I've worked call centers before. I know that you're reading from a script. I know that there are strict rules that you're required to follow and you can't deviate from them. Yeah. And I have no problem with you. I have nothing against this individual. I said, the company you work for is crap.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So my next step is to contact Nintendo. And because it's still under warranty. They came out in March of last year.
Right.
Now the clock's ticking, but still it's under warranty. So I'm going to contact Nintendo and see if they can do something faster. And if not, then I am going to call back, ask to speak to a manager, see if they can't do something. If they can't do anything, I'm going to demand that I get the money back from the protection plan, which ironically would cover a new set of controllers.
Hmm.
And I'm sure they won't do that either.
Right.
And anyway, so I just want to throw this out there kind of as a PSA, a public service announcement.
Random Chatter is here for you, folks.
We are here for you. We want to make sure that when you buy Apple products, you get AppleCare through Apple. When you buy a product from Best Buy, or if you buy a product that's available from Best Buy, as well as whatever retailer you're going to, consider going to Best Buy instead, where they can actually replace it for you on the spot. And I'm not saying don't buy things from Amazon or don't buy things from Target, but think twice before signing up for this place that wants to send your portable gadgetry to an automotive mechanic, a bad one at that.
Yeah.
That's as an alternative, insane. In case they can't fix it, there is, the lawn tractor repair shop too.
The one through Best Buy, is that through Best Buy themselves or do they have another company that runs their program for them? Because most companies don't do their own warranty extended coverage plans like because we deal with, even on our side in power equipment, we do deal with a couple companies that do the third party extended warranty plans or service plans for Lowe's or Home Depot when they buy a tractor or something there.
Right.
And it's weird because they'll contact us. We're a service center. We had to bring it in. Normally under warranty, manufacturers in my business don't pay for the pickup and delivery charge to get it to me. Kind of like your car breaks down, your AAA tows it. Otherwise, you pay yourself. No one's going to pay that under warranty for your car or your tractor. And these companies, like there's one we deal with called BTTW that does a lot of these. And they pay it, but it's like pulling teeth trying to get them to pay these bills.
Yeah.
And the consumer doesn't care. The consumer's like, okay, yeah, it's great. We take care of them and they get the machine back. Everything's great. They think we're, we walk on water. But then it's months before you get the $50 payment from them for the pickup and delivery. It's like, it shouldn't be that hard, but no.
I think Best Buy does go through another company, but the thing that where it's different with consumer electronics is a lot of these things now, they just get replaced.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be ACIT certified and ACMT certified, which means I was authorized by Apple to work on iMacs, MacBooks, iPhones, etc. But there were some things that we just didn't repair. We did not repair iPads, period. Mm-hmm. To open them up, you have to not damage them, but basically you are making it so that you don't really have an effective way of putting it back together because of the way the glass is connected into the device. Now, there are ways to do it, but I mean, just for the... there's a certain... device for the iPhones that in order to line up the screens with the other layers within the display assembly costs, I think, like $15,000 per tool. You have to have a different tool for each model. So for like the 6, for the 6S, for the 7, for the 7S, it's... And so local repair shops just, they don't have it. So they send it into Apple and Apple takes care of it. But the thing is, most of these things are replaceable, like mandatory replacements. You're not allowed to repair them on site, even if you are a service center, depending on what the item is. Best Buy, I can tell you that whatever they do behind the scenes for the customer, my experience with consumer electronics is that they replace it right there at the counter. If it's something they're able to fix, they'll fix it. If they can't fix it there in the store, like I had an iPod Touch for our son when he was a lot younger, and he broke it, and we took it in and said, yeah, my son smashed it on the concrete. I kind of sorry about that. And they said, yeah, no problem. Hold on a second. And we had to pay like $29 or something, and we got a brand new iPod Touch. Mm. And we were done within like 15 minutes, I think, in and out.
Wow.
So there are a lot of stores that will do it right there in the store. I just, you know, I guess next time there won't be a next time for me, but in hindsight, right. I should have not trusted what I was told by the store employee and looked into it further prior to purchasing the protection plan. And that's on me. But when I call someplace with whom I have paid money for a plan to service a device and they tell me to take it to an automotive mechanic.
Yeah, it's a bit much.
Come on. Come on.
So, I don't know why that wouldn't work out for you.
Yeah. So that's both that doubles as my rant and as of what were they thinking this week. So beware of protection plan companies that want to send your portable handheld video game systems to places like that, because wow, that's all.
Yeah.
Thank you for letting me have this moment to share with you and with our audience.
My condolences and thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah. All right, so back to your regularly scheduled program,
and we're back.
That was
awesome, Eric.
Yeah,
he's good.
He's very 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 quick.
Oh boy. Well, I think that does bring us to the end of another episode, unless you guys have anything burning you want to talk about.
I don't think so. I think we're good. Okay. Shannon, thank you very much for joining us. I know it was on fairly short notice. You had a couple 3 hours notice at least.
Yeah, it's all good.
Yeah, it was good to have you on the show. We'll definitely have you on again sometime in the future. And we're gonna take it out of here.
We are going to take it out here. And yeah, definitely. Thank you for definitely joining us tonight. It was great having you on. We'll have you on again sometime real soon, I hope.
I hope so. Thank you.
Okay. So anybody wants to send us feedback, you can certainly do so. You know the drill. It's the email. It's randomchatter@randomchatter.com. That goes to all three of the hosts. We'll certainly take a look at what you have to say. If it's something we want to talk about, we'll bring it on the show.
Or we'll just delete your email.
Well, as I said, if we liked it.
And they won't acknowledge it. It'll just be gone.
I wasn't promising.
You'll have to send another email.
What email?
No, don't send more.
I never got the first one.
If we didn't respond to your first one, no. Just
take a hint. Read between the lines.
You can also find us online. We are online on Facebook. We're facebook.com/randomchatternetwork. You can find us on Twitter. For the show, it's at Random Chatter. I'm on Twitter. It's at Lou Secchi. It's LouSecki. You can find Lizzie online. She's at Nerd in the City. Shannon, where can we find you online?
I'm at Shank Beezy, which...
Because that makes sense.
It's actually, my coworker called it my rap name. My middle name is Kelly, so it's Shan K. Beezy. So...
Okay.
That, instead of spelling it, I just broke it up for you.
Sure.
There you go. Awesome. I like it. It's your gangster name.
Exactly.
Well, she was throwing gang signs when we first started. You see that, Tim?
It was a peace sign.
Yeah.
It was a peace sign.
That peace gang.
That's right.
You can also find us on Instagram now. We are just Random Chatter on Instagram.
Apparently, Lou doesn't care about me being on Twitter.
Oh, I forgot about you, Tim.
Oh my God.
Everybody knows you're on Twitter, Tim. Everybody knows.
Tim, where can we find you on Twitter? Two M's.
Two M, not three.
No, two.
Just two.
Okay. Although my name only has one. Some people can't figure that out. Some people, hey, Tim.
Is the extra M for good?
I know a cat named Tom with two M's, and I call him Tom. Because I have to pronounce the second M.
Call you on to mm.
Can we mute Tom? Her? Can we, is we there could. A way to mute her?
No, there's not.
No. Oh, darn.
I'm not saying call Tim that. I never called you that, just that cat, because he's a That's cat. True. And he can't be offended by how I say his name because he's a cat.
You see, you don't know. You don't know the emotions of cats.
No, okay, just to keep us back on track, Tim, you're next in here.
Did you cover Instagram?
I did.
Oh, did you?
When I skipped you, I said we're on Instagram as random chatter.
Oh, boy.
Okay. You were so concerned about being skipped on Twitter, you didn't even hear me talk about Instagram.
I was offended, Lou. Darn it.
I'm sorry.
Also, check out all of our shows at randomchatter.com. We have, you'll find all of our shows there. You can play them right off of the website if, you know, for some reason you don't want to commit and, download them from iTunes or whatever that you get your podcast from. We also have blog posts up there. We have little poll survey kind of things up there and news about new and upcoming shows. So please check us out at randomchatter.com.
Spread the word about our shows too. If you like us, leave us reviews on iTunes and Stitcher, wherever else you get your podcast from. Tell your friends about us if they're into the same stuff you are. They probably like this show as well.
We also certainly appreciate some support on Patreon. So catch us at randomchatter.com/Patreon. Just $1 a month will get you into our Discord community, which is fantastic. We've spoken for the last year and a half about Slack. We've moved from Slack over to Discord, and Discord offers us a lot of really neat new opportunities, including a public lobby. So if, again, you're kind of one of those commitment people where you can't quite commit yet without trying something out, which is cool. That's fine. I'm not knocking you for it. You can actually go over to randomchatter.com/Discord. That will link you over to our Discord community, and you can join us in the public lobby of our community, which is where a lot of discussion happens. And even there, you get to interface with all of our hosts and staff and a lot of other fans. But that doesn't get you access to all the channels that we have within Discord. We have topical channels talking about different things. Movies in general are very specific movies. We have a channel in there right now for Black Panther, where all the spoilers are just kind of blown right out there. We're in deep discussion on the movie. We talk about Star Wars stuff. We're talking about the new Solo film. We're talking about games and collecting and TV shows and all sorts of stuff in there.
How bad Tim's doing in Fantasy Movie League this week?
I'm doing fine. I am third only because there is a tie for first. And I'm only $1 million behind you, Lou. That's chump change in box office amounts.
That's true.
Why do you got to pick a fight so late in the show? I'm doing the closing. I'm talking about Patreon and how awesome it is that, if people just throw $1 a month at us, they get to do things. And you got to jump in there and say, oh, Tim's doing so bad at this. Nice job, Lou. Now I got to start over. I'm not going to start over.
Sorry, Tim.
But we are. There's just a lot of great things that we offer through there. And for every contribution, every donation that you give to us, we also give back to you. So whether it's at the $1 level, the $5 level, the $10, $15, et cetera, from there. And you can see what all those levels are and what you get out of it. If you head over to randomchatter.com/Patreon, you get all sorts of bonus content and other exclusive things, which we jam right down your freaking throat. Because we love your money. Thank you.
We love the listeners, Tim.
That's right. That's right. So the
we
music
love
you
to talk with the listeners.
Yes, we do. We that's actually kind of some of the most fun about this thing is being on Discord, interacting with our listeners and interacting with listeners on Twitter and all sorts of stuff. That's a lot of fun. So the music you hear on Random Chatter is The Perfect Heist by Blue Stolly.
Well, that does bring us to the end of another episode. Shannon, thank you very much for being here tonight. It was great having you.
Thanks.
Tim, as usual, it was, you were here.
It was a thing.
Yeah, it was. We're going to come back at you guys in about another week. Thanks.
Peace out. Oh, no.
Lou, you're muted.
Oh, damn it.
You better write that time down.
I thought I turned it off. Okay.
18, and then I see Tim pointing at his head. So I was like, oh, no.
I didn't even have the video up either. So, okay. 18, 25.
It's okay. 18. We were just watching the Olympics behind you.
Yeah, I figured. Yeah.